The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mike Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Armchair Traveler. And for the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the Washington Post. But before we begin our journey on today's Armchair Traveler, please let me remind you that neither the North Carolina Reading Service nor I are endorsing any of the cruises, safaris, tours, or other travel itineraries that might be featured in the articles that we are going to be reading. These are selected simply for your enjoyment and edification. And today on Armchair Traveler, we're going to have a two-part story about a cruise. Now, in part one, writer Natalie B. Compton introduces us to the case of the nine-month cruise that's taking over TikTok. Now, this story appeared in the January 11th, 2024 issue of the Washington Post. It's about how TikTok creators are telling the story of the Royal Caribbean's ultimate world cruise. It's a nine-month journey that takes passengers around the world. So let's find out more from Natalie's article as we begin. Joe Martucci was beginning the trip of a lifetime, and he intended to tell his kids all about it. On December 10th, after 2 years of planning, the recently retired 67-year-old and his wife Audrey finally embarked on Royal Caribbean's ultimate world cruise. The itinerary on the nine-month expedition includes 65 countries across every continent. They'd see the snowy shores of Antarctica, climb the ruins of Machu Picchu, and feast across Southeast Asia. Between their ports of call, they'd play mini-golf, attend lectures, and relax at the spa on board the 965-foot Serenade of the Seas. To share it all with the folks at home, Martucci started recording updates for his four adult children who encouraged him to post the videos online. Almost overnight, a star was born. Unbeknownst to Martucci, an insatiable interest in his cruise had been growing since the ship left port in Miami. How could anyone stand to be on a cruise for 9 months? How could anyone afford to with the rate starting at $61,000? Well, across the Internet, people were clamoring for as much information as they could find. Dozens of TikTok accounts have popped up documenting all things Serenade of the Seas. Some are run by a few of the 600-something travelers staying on board for the entire 274-night itinerary. Others are spectators on land. The culmination of their content with hashtags like Ultimate World Cruise, and nine-month cruise has racked up hundreds of millions of views. The cumulative effect is comparable to a reality TV show complete with cast members, drama, and intrigue. Unlike a traditional reality show with meddling producers and forced cliffhangers, content from the nine-month cruise comes from average Joe Martucci's. That's what makes hashtag cruise talk so captivating. Those of us who haven't been on a cruise before or don't even like the idea of it are probably thinking these people must be crazy, said Beth Fletcher, 39, who started a series of recapping Ultimate World Cruise News called Ship Happens on her TikTok account a few days after it departed. Like, we want to know more, she said. While the Internet loves the folksy content Martucci and others share, it's also thirsty for reality show infighting. Everybody likes to think there is a conflict, Fletcher said. My first couple of posts, I was like, oh my gosh, if I was traveling in a small cabin with anyone in my family, after a week or so, I would want to throw them overboard. Well, such plot twists have yet to actually emerge, and to understand the appeal of TikTok's favorite cruise, well, let's say you've got to meet the cast. Now, what happens next in this thing is kind of interesting. In order to meet the TikTok creators who are sharing their experiences aboard this Royal Caribbean Ultimate World Cruise, Natalie Compton is going to provide some excerpts from various passenger postings, and she's interviewed not only the passenger, but also TikTok creator Beth Fletcher. And you're going to hear from her throughout. And we're going to start with Joe Martucci, whom we talked about earlier, as we continue part one of our story, okay? So first is he, mom, and dad, Joe Martucci, and He has this Instagram account, at Spending Our Kids Money, okay? Martucci's family asked him to post his recaps online for their friends to see. He started a TikTok account with the handle Spending Our Kids Money because he often jokes the cost of the cruise could have been their inheritance. On December 18th, he published his first public check-in. It's now been watched more than a million times. People tell me, Joe, you have 76,000 followers in 3 weeks. That's amazing, Martucci said. And I sit here and go, well, how many am I supposed to have? The whole wholesome account on Serenade of the Seas, the Martucci's fantastic antidote to the increasingly chaotic nature of many viral videos, no real editing, no second takes, just your cruise mom and dad checking in. If I mess up, we just let it run, Martucci said. I have a little speech dyslexia, especially when it comes to pronouncing words, and Audrey's always correcting me, and we just leave it at that. To feel like you have parents on the ultimate world cruise, this is your follow. Then we have the second character. This is a bucket lister, Angie Linderman. At Angie Linderman is where you find her information. Ultimate World Cruise Q&A, or really FAQ, and that's sort of factual questions, something like that. Anyway, I don't know how to do Q&A, which is question and answer, on here. Help. I tried to answer as many as I could that I know of, a lot of people have, but let me know what else you want to know about what it's like on Royal Caribbean's Ultimate World Cruise. Whew, I wonder what English class she took. That was all one sentence without any other defining grammar, shall I say. And she's got a ton of hashtags, just a couple of examples. Hashtag Royal Caribbean. A hashtag, by the way, is a pound sign. Hashtag cruising. Hashtag solo female traveler. That's just some of the examples. And Angie Linderman became a breakout star thanks to an early Q&A show that she's begun on this ship. After both of her parents died of cancer, Linderman discovered she also had an elevated risk for breast and ovarian cancer. She had a preventive double mastectomy and plans to have both of her ovaries removed in the near future. So to me, there is no thought of retirement, she shared at TikTok. And doing all things I can do now is kind of a motto. Linderman spent her inheritance to book the Ultimate World Cruise with her brother's families, continuing to work remotely along the way. She will be inspiring lots of people who receive their cancer diagnoses and cancer survivors to go out and just live their lives as if every day could be a last, Fletcher said. And, of course, we're talking about TikToker Beth Fletcher there, and she'll be quoted throughout this. Now, our third cast member likes to call themselves the Swingers or Not, and Aditya is the name of this individual, at Aditam, A-D-I-T-A-M, I believe it's L, Aditam L, 2759, last name unknown. She's been drumming up fan interest with her sassy, slightly wacky videos that wink at the potential of her and her husband being swingers. The main culprit for the rumor, her obsession with pineapples. When shown upside down, the fruit is known to be a signal in the swinger community that you're game, but many of her posts wink at the theory, although Aditya has perhaps unconvincingly denied the claim. She says that they aren't and that she just likes pineapples, Beth Fletcher said. Well, that's a heck of a lot of pineapple. Aditya also loves to clean and share tidbits of ship life and how she stays organized on board. Our fourth crew member is a crew member, I should say. His name is Daniel Salvatore Abisi. And you can find him at singing.sailor, at singing.sailor. Getting to know crew, part one, and then he's got a whole bunch of different hashtags. One of them is at Belladonna. And for a behind-the-scenes look at the working life on the cruise, there's the singing sailor Danielle Salvatore Abisi, originally from Essex in the United Kingdom. Abisi comes to the ship as a performer and has amassed a following for his crew cabin tours, thorough travel logs from port days, and helpful Q&As, like when he tapped the ship's captain to find out the best side of the ship for whale watching. He's very, very talented, Beth Fletcher said. His content's fantastic. He's got real likability, and he's very funny. Then we have the solo traveler, goes by the name Anthony McWilliams. You can find him at Anthony Antoine, A-N-T-O-I-N-E, Anthony Antoine 1021. And he calls his the Good Morning program, and he's got all kinds of hashtags, one of which is hashtag Rio de Janeiro, and then another one, hashtag BrazilBR. Anyway, Anthony McWilliams was working in public health at Emory University, a job he loved when tragedy struck. "I lost my husband to cancer in 2018, McWilliams said, who goes by Anthony Antoine on social media. That's what he told the Washington Post. From diagnosis to his passing was literally 8 months and one day. His late husband left him with a request, travel the world, he said. Traveling would be my salvation, McWilliams said, so he retired and hit the road that year. Now McWilliams is one of the most beloved passengers on the ship, both to fellow cruisers and online fans. After a mix-up with Brazilian cruise regulations, he had to fend for himself on land for a week until he was allowed to return. Everybody was cheering for me to come back on, he said. He mostly posts joyous port recaps and musings, like when he said he'd gained 10 pounds in 5 days on the ship. He gets messages constantly that his travels as a solo black traveler is inspiring. That's my number one travel rule, is to not wait on the others. If you're waiting on the others, you'll end up going nowhere, he said. Then we have the Lake Sisters. This is Shannon Marie Lake, primarily, and let's see here. Shannon Marie has like a hashtag. I am Brandy Lake is one thing, and then at Swanka La Mode. Swanka La Mode. So there's Brandy Lake and apparently Shannon Marie Lake. Those are the two sisters. And then the question is, could you spend 9 months sharing a room with your sister? Well, that's the social experiment Shannon Marie and Brandy are carrying out in real time for fans. So far, it's working well, Shannon told the Washington Post. We travel together a lot, so we know each other's hotel style. Like, okay, we'll take long showers, Lake said. When she's not spending her time with her parents, who are also on board, Brandy keeps in touch with her audience through C-Day chats. She made headlines in the first weeks of the cruise after sharing a post about her experience being regularly confused for a staff member, as she and her sister are among the few guests of color on board. She was like, oh my God, is this going to be the case for the next 9 months? Beth Fletcher said. That seems to have settled down now, but obviously that leaves a bit of a bad taste in your mouth. Shannon Marie is more inclined to share street art from their on-land excursions. Both sisters answer tons of the public's questions and dance their way around the ship. If you can't get enough of their videos, you can listen to their podcast. Then we have the other sisters, Brooklyn, Swetcha and Madison Swetcha. And traveling with their parents in Brooklyn and Madison Swetcha take their roles as the eyes and ears of the ship seriously, posting tons of content for their growing audience. They share vlogs, and that's video blogs, of unglamorous sea days featuring bad weather and laundry duties, as well as the highlights, like what it's really like to visit a world wonder. One of their most popular posts was an extensive tour of the ship Madison took in the wee hours of the night, giving us an eerie and fascinating look at the massive ship almost completely empty. They know how to create a post that's engaging, Beth Fletcher said. They're good at highlighting things people want to see. Then we have the wild card, and it goes by Little Rat Brain, at @little_rat_brain. There's the beginning of the bathtub scene at the end of the Way I'm Obsessed With movie. Though my friend's alone, however, it's not available to my location, so I'm going off vibes and vibes only, is one message on that particular thing. Well, for a dose of Gen Z bizarro comedy, there's Little Rat Brain, whose real name has been kept private. Even the other cast members call her that in videos and interviews. We love Little Rat Brain, Martucci said. Little Rat Brain, who's traveling with her mother, shares expertly edited, highly silly updates of life on board, from experiencing the Drake Shake, the sort of turbulence that comes from crossing the Drake Passage, to itinerary changes. Next, we have the influencer. This is the final cast member to be listed, Miki Oosthuizen, a nice Dutch name there. A seasoned social media user, Miki Oosthuizen posts highly satisfying day-in-the-life videos that bring you into her world. Since the South African boarded the cruise with her parents and her husband, she's taken us along for a sea day gym sessions, also what it's like to dine on board, and she's learned how to do and get good manicures ahead of the cruise so she could save money. Her mother, Rensk Lammerding, has actual reality TV experience as a cast member on The Real Housewives of Pretoria. But Östlund told The Washington Post people gravitate most to her everyday experiences. She knows people are waiting for drama to erupt, but unfortunately for them, not for her, all of the people I've met on the ship are just so nice, and they're all here with their loved ones for a vacation or to travel the world, she said. I just don't think that expectation will become a reality, to be honest with you. So there you go, some of the ideas and people that you can kind of follow if you want to on this Ultimate World Cruise. We talked about that was just part one. Now in part two about the Ultimate World Cruise, this comes from an article that came several weeks later written by Hannah Simpson. It was published in the February 13, 2024 issue of the Washington Post. And the headline kind of tells us what's happening. Passenger dies aboard nine-month cruise, Royal Caribbean confirms. The company did not release additional details about the death. Now we're going to have more about part two of the Ultimate World Cruise. A guest sailing on board Serenade of the Seas has sadly passed away, the statement said. We are actively providing support and assistance to the guest's loved ones at this time. Out of the privacy of the guest and her family, we have nothing further to share at this time. Royal Caribbean did not release additional details on the passenger. First, some sad news. We had our first death on the Ultimate World Cruise. A passenger who goes by Adidas said in a TikTok video, and she says she was an elderly lady, and the reason I know is because I was coming to my room when they were taking the body out, so very, very sad for me because I was there to watch. The original video has been removed, but it was posted in a report from a cruise watcher who described the update as Ultimate World Cruise Tea Time Depressing Edition. The company did not confirm that it was the first death during the voyage, which set sail in December. Official statistics on the number of people who die on a cruise are not made public, but a 2020 study in the International Journal of Travel Medicine and Global Health found that there were 623 reported deaths aboard 78 ocean and river cruise lines between 2000 and 2019. Excluding suicides, the leading causes of passenger deaths were shown to be unspecified natural causes, cardiac incidents, and falling overboard or onto lower decks. For months, Royal Caribbean's Ultimate World Cruise has captivated the public like a social media reality show, with reports on storms, coronavirus outbreaks, canceled port calls, and interpersonal drama. The itinerary on the nine-month expedition includes 65 countries across every continent. Dozens of TikTok accounts have popped up to document the cruise. Some are run by a few of the 600-something travelers staying on board. Others are spectators on land, as we just reported in Part 1. Now, Spencer Allenfield, an attorney who sues cruise lines and posts cruise content on TikTok, recorded a video about the death. People die, and people die on cruises, he said, and it's not always a result of some foul play or accident. That's why cruise ships have onboard morgues that have a capacity sometimes up to 12 bodies. He said the medical care available on a ship is limited, and it can be difficult and expensive to transfer a sick passenger to land. It is important before you go on any cruise, no matter what the duration, to make sure that you're physically fit to sail, he said. Living at sea, travelers on a nine-month world cruise are going viral on social media. For some travelers, not even 9 months was enough time on a ship. They sold cars, moved out of their homes, and prepared to set sail for 3 years. That plan fell apart, but a three-and-a-half-year version is waiting in the wings. Passengers beware, it's not all buffets and dance contests. Crime data reported by Cruise Line show that the number of sex crimes has increased compared to previous years, and though man overboard cases are rare, they are usually deadly. And finally, the more you know, if your crew's curious, remember that in most cases, extra fees and add-ons will increase the seemingly cheap price of a sailing. And if you happen to get sick, know what to expect on board. So just some tips there as we ponder the world cruise, ultimate world cruise, I should say. And from that cruise, we're going to turn inland and head to the Windy City of Chicago. As the headline for Jonathan Edwards' story reads, Chicago has a new tourist destination, the Rat Hole. This article appeared in the January 13, 2024 issue of the Washington Post. Chicago is teeming with tourist attractions, the Bean at the Millennium Park, Navy Pier, the Riverwalk, Wrigley Field. The list could go on, but this week, and that would be the week of January 7th, a new spectacle has been drawing sightseers to a tree-lined sidewalk in a residential neighborhood miles and miles from the Loop. They come to see the Chicago rat hole. An imprint in the concrete of what appears to be a rodent has been a curiosity on West Roscoe Street for decades, but it became a destination attraction this week after a Chicago artist posted a photo of it on social media. The post on X, formerly known as Twitter, has since been viewed by more than 5 million times and has drawn hundreds of people a day to ooh and ah, giggle, and take photos at a decades-old splat mark. It's very like viscerally silly thing to see, Winslow Dumain, who posted the photo, told the Washington Post. Dumain, who moved to Chicago in 2017, first heard of the rat hole last week. On Saturday, he was heading to Roscoe Village neighborhood to visit a shop that sells his artwork. His friend, Haley Hudson, told him that since he was in the area, he should keep an eye out for the Chicago rat hole. I didn't know what she was talking about, he said. Dumain made the trek nevertheless, and upon seeing what his friend had been talking about, he burst into laughter. It's just this perfect example of visual storytelling. You see it, and you can tell exactly what happened. It's this thing that stands across language barriers, he said, adding, you could show this someone 500 years ago, and they wouldn't know exactly what would happen. Well, Dumain took a photo and posted it on X, and within an hour, it was well on its way to going viral, which exactly wasn't a surprise to Dumain. He suspected it might be a hit. It was funny, physical, and animal-related. Everybody just thinks it's fun. It's incredibly hard to find a thing like that. Pure funny, silly things, he said. Cindy Nelson said that the imprint has been there ever since she and her husband moved to the neighborhood in 1997, and that a neighbor who has lived there since the early 90s told her it was there then, too. Well, residents who live on the block are tight-knit, communicate often through group chat, and celebrating, if a little surprised at the sudden popularity of their neighborhood marvel. We're fond of the little critter, Nelson said. We never thought people would think it's this exciting. As Nelson and her husband raised 3 kids across the street from the splat mark, they noticed a pattern. Someone would be walking by the imprint, notice it, look at it more closely, and then laugh. They would then look up to figure out what it cost it. Years ago, there was a huge old beautiful oak tree above the imprint, Nelson said, adding that she believes it was actually a squirrel that fell out of the tree and plunged into fresh cement, making what would become known as a rat hole. The tree eventually got sick and was cut down, and so passerbys, looking up at nothing but sky in recent years, grew visibly confused about how the imprint was made. Nelson and Dumain said the Chicago rat hole embodies the cities it's named after. For Nelson, the cheeky decades-old imperfection captures the way Chicagoans can laugh at themselves. Dumain said the Chicago can have a harsh climate, citing that in 2019 it was colder than the South Pole. But Chicagoans are gritty, a quality shared by the cement-covered rodent memorialized decades later on a random sidewalk. That rat fell in the cement, brushed himself off, and went to work, he added. Dumain said he posted a photo of the rat hole so others could share the joy it gave him. Although his art is admittedly really grim, dark, and morbid, Dumain said he's an optimistic person who savors moments of joy whenever possible. When he saw the now famous Chicago rat hole, he saw an opportunity for others to join in. It's a very, very small thing. It's just a picture of a splat mark, but it's also part of a greater philosophy of just like, let's make as many people smile as we can. Interesting story there. Yeah. Well, as we prepare to leave winter and enter the spring season, it's time to think about vacation travel. Writers Gabe Hyatt and Amanda Finnegan offer our favorite destinations of 2023, and they think you might want to put this down for your consideration. And these were provided in their By the Way column, which is part of the travel team. They call it By the Way at the Washington Post. And the story appeared in the January 7th, 2024 issue. There was no question that 2023 was another revenge travel year. European destinations like Rome and Paris were bursting with visitors again. National parks broke records. Tourists acted out. We sent reporters around the world to find off-the-wall stories in off-the-beaten-path places. They went on Wiener mobiles and flight simulators to the world's biggest truck stop and America's favorite rest stop, and on weed tours and pizza binges. Picking our favorite place is like picking your favorite child. It feels impossible. But if we must, here's a sampling of those destinations we loved this year. Number one, a surfer's paradise in Indonesia. Washington Post photographer Michael Robinson Chavez brought us the story of the Mentawa Islands Regency, a chain in West Sumatra, Indonesia, that has achieved the mythical status in the surf community for an absurd abundance of perfect waves. By comparing his visits in 1999, the early aughts in 2023, Chavez detailed development of the mints as they become more of a tourist draw. Talking to surf entrepreneurs and local Indonesians showed how the economic potential of an airport is poised to change a place that was previously only reachable by ferry. Next, inside a bear vortex in Alaska, the nature lovers who complete the complicated journey to Katmai National Park and Preserve are rewarded with an up-close look at the Alaskan brown bears who bulk up on salmon. Visitors are instructed to stay at least 50 yards away at all times, but according to By the Way reporter Natalie Compton, that's close enough to hear these apex predators snapping salmon spines like they were cracking cold beers. And then number three, Morocco's cafe capital. No Moroccan city embodies the nexus of European and North African culture like Tangier. In the Western world, the city's countercultural reputation precedes it, but there's more to do than chase the ghost of expat authors. As historian Graham H. Cornwell explains, cafes play an oversized role in everyday life, and in Tangier, stopping for a coffee or mint tea presents opportunities to take in the bustling Grand Soko Square, explore a renovated cinema, pop into a chic boutique, or pause to appreciate the view of the Strait of Gibraltar. Number four is the evolved all-inclusive resort in Mexico. Like cruises, all-inclusive resorts have a reputation that could be charitably described as basic. The trade-off for unlimited everything all in one place has historically been a dearth of culture and taste. But as, By the Way, reporter Andrea Sachs experienced, at Hotel Secret Art in Playa de Carmen, Mexico, some newer properties are aiming higher. Sandals and Club Med are very much alive, but there's also a new premium on local cuisines and offerings, such as ancestral dancing, pottery workshops, and nature parks. Then we had the Brooklyn Pizza Crawl to end them all. New Yorkers were right all along. Their pizza has no peer. By the way, Deputy Editor Gabe Hyatt learned this firsthand, traversing Brooklyn from south to north in search of the ultimate slice. Then we had the vintage car race on a frozen lake in Switzerland. When most people think of the luxury alpine resort town of St. Moritz in Switzerland's Engadin Valley, they imagine serene logs, skiing that's challenging for Olympians, and heated pools overlooking one of the most pristine mountain ranges in the world. But for 2 days a year in February, the small town becomes a rumbling, gasoline-scented race avenue for the ultra-wealthy and their one-of-a-kind vintage cars, which we had a story on in an earlier episode of Armchair Traveler. Number seven, a surreal floating dinner in Norway. Deep in the fjords of western Norway, a new restaurant that's making waves, or rather riding them. It's Restaurant Iris, where diners are immersed in new Nordic cuisine on a floating stainless steel orb called Salmon Eye, bobbing in the frigid waters of the heart of Dingefjord. And then number eight, locals' view of a glacier national park. And this is a field trip podcast item. And it went to Glacier National Park, which is a lot of fun there. Number five, the birthplace of the teddy bear in Germany. And it's the Stief Museum there. And one of Italy's last hidden gems, Molise, is part of the 20 regions of Italy. And that, my friends, brings us to the close of today's Armchair Traveler. Please let me remind you that today's show is for people who are blind and print impaired. Armchair Traveler is available as a podcast at our website at ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. Comments and questions can be directed to 919-832-5138. The number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Hope you'll join us again next time. Bye-bye.